Tell you a little bit about our centers. We do have three centers. If you could go to the next slide, please, and forward it again. Our first center is the Francis Leiter Center, and it's in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. It's over in Franklin County. It was established in 1986. And last year, our year ends June 30th, so just at June 30th, 2020, we served 27 children and 375 hours of creative art therapy. That is significantly down from where we served a year before, but we haven't been open. We were closed from March 14th till June 1st. And I'll talk a little bit about what are some of the things we did to pivot, to continue to remain stable as an organization a little later in my presentation. But I just want you to know that, the pandemic has affected us and our ability to best serve children because parents are afraid. They're afraid to bring their children in. They're afraid. They're afraid of their children getting sick. The next slide, the Lehman Center. Go ahead, keep going. We have a 24-hour crisis respite nurse. You can keep clicking. It's one of three in the state of Pennsylvania. May or may not know that. We were the first one. We were started in 1987. We were started because the number two killer of children in York County was child abuse. It's no longer the number two killer of children in York County, but we're still the third highest in the state for reported and suspected child abuse cases, only behind Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, who are the other two places there's a crisis nursery. The crisis nursery is there to basically provide respite care or emergency care. So let's say a mom goes into the hospital. She's a single mom. She has nowhere for her two-year-old to go. The child can come and stay with us until the mom gets healthy, or we can find a parent or someone for the child to be placed with, so that the child does not have to enter into that foster care system. So we do provide that. We provide respite care, and we provided over 25,672 hours last year. We also have a crisis hotline. We had almost 2,000 responses there, if you want to keep going. We do outpatient counseling, which is our creative art therapy, and we serve 43 children with almost 773 hours. And then family advocacy, our family advocate saw 63 families and provided 526 hours of support. And Joanne Godfrey, you may know Joanne, she's a member of New Fairview Church of the Brethren. Joanne has been with the agency. The agency has been around 33 years. Joanne just celebrated 32 years as our family advocate. It's absolutely amazing dedication to this organization that Joanne has. And, you know, I think Joanne is going to retire at her desk, or, you know, because she just loves the work she does and she's so passionate. And then we had 185 parents go through our support groups. And then finally, our third facility is in New Oxford. We had 59 children go through art and play therapy. There we also have a clothing bank called God's Closet, and we're in the process of finalizing the renovation on that. We've been in a process of renovating that facility to take it from a garage, basically it was just a garage with a bunch of boxes on tables, to actually making it more of a store-like environment. We now have air conditioning in there, we've now put new doors in. We're now in the final phases where we're going to actually put walls up and dressing rooms and put racks in there so that when children come to get clothing, I don't know about you, but I don't buy clothing out of a box unless my wife orders it on Amazon. Then it comes in a box to us. But I usually go and I shop the racks. Well, not so much anymore, right? None of us do that. But we used to shop the racks. So our idea is that we will create a store-like environment where children can do that. A new service we have in Adams County, we received a grant. We started family advocacy there, and our family advocate worked about a half a year there. She's seen 11 families in 204 hours. So we're expanding our services across our organization. And this facility acts as the home to our CAS administrative services. Before we get to the next slide, I just want to tell you, I will just stay right there. The next slide, you can go to the next slide, but just don't click the next one. If you want to click, there you go, stop right there. I want to talk a little bit about what happened in the pandemic so that you understand where we are today from where we were 6 months ago. About a week after the pandemic hit, well, actually, it was March 14th, we decided to close all of our facilities. We actually, the governor created a stay-at-home order and was encouraging people to telework and do that. We, as an organization and a board, just felt we didn't know how we were going to take care of infants and diaper changes and all that, and we didn't know enough about this COVID-19 to ensure that we could keep people safe. So we closed our facility. Our board immediately decided we weren't going to lay anyone off. We retained all of our staff through this whole time, paid them their full benefits and their full salaries. And luckily, we were lucky enough to get a PPP loan that kind of helped us bridge that. But that's where the board was for the first couple weeks, is we cannot, if we lay our staff off, they'll become clients of ours. Because many of our crisis nursery workers are living paycheck to paycheck. They're the asset-limited, income-constrained families in our community, and they work for us, and we love that we have that ability to give them employment and do that, but they would be struggling in this situation. So we were able to do that, and there was blessings. I mean, there was gifts that came in. There was a bequest that came in that helped us bridge that gap that we didn't know. So I felt that God was saying to us, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You got to keep serving kids. Immediately, our counseling department, our parent support group, we went to Zoom. We went to a Zoom platform, and we started offering virtual therapy sessions. But as you can imagine, about 50% of our families started doing that. And what happened is that many of our families didn't, the kids just trickled off and stopped coming to us. And obviously, our crisis nursery was closed. So there was a great concern as the frustration of kids being homeschooled by parents who weren't teachers, you know, kids not being in the school system where a lot of reports of child abuse occur and referrals come to us, what was that gonna look like? And so we started to strategize and think about how do we get our facility back open? And I'm proud to say that on June 1st, we were able to put all the safety measures in place, including masks and temperatures and screenings and sanitizing and a diaper changes 22 steps and 6 pairs of gloves, just to give you an idea, to keep our staff and the child safe. So it went from, this lady, her eyes told me, she's like, 22 steps? How could, everything from like having the diaper ready so that, you know, I mean, it's amazing how we had to step all that out. And in this, what we call new normal, and how it changed how we welcome children into our midst. And I have to tell you, the kids probably haven't missed a beat. You know, other than the mask wearing, the kids are right back there, and they love coming to the Lehman Center, and they love the experience they get there. And although we always liked that we sat to table at one big table, now we sit to table in smaller pods spread around our dining room. We have 3 tables, and we put 1 staff member and 3 kids at the table. You know, so just different ways that we have learned to continue to do what we do as the Children's Aid Society to help children. Which brings me to our in-kind support from people like you. And this is a picture of the Church of Brethren with I think it's Buffalo Valley, with a whole van, and you can keep clicking, van full of things. And I'll talk a little bit about what are some of the things you can do to continue to help us through this process. United Way people, a women's group who gave us a bunch of stuff, you know, different diapers, paper towels, those kind of things. Keep clicking, there's two or three more pictures. People are doing blankets for us, quilting blankets. Masks, most of our masks, this mask right here was made by a group that was donated to our staff. We tried to issue each one of our staff 3 masks so they don't have to wash them between shifts, because they're 3 on, 2 off, so they have 3 so they can wear a clean one each day and then launder them. We also use disposable masks, so we're happy for that. Our golf tournaments, we do have a golf tournament coming up on August 13th at Hanover Country Club. Masks will be required in the clubhouse, but not on the course. If you're a golfer and you want to come out and golf, you can do that safely there. If we can go to the next slide. I want to tell you a little story about the Lehman Center. And you can click through all 3 pictures if I can, because I think it really brings together my message this morning to you all about our agency. And there's a young child that comes up, and one of our workers, Mr. Dan, works for us one Sunday a month he works with us. He's a part-time person. He works full-time as an IT person for a company in York, but just loves the work that he does at the Lehman Center. And this little girl walks up to him with a book, because one of the things we try to do is read to children. We try to provide children with children's books. because I don't know if you know, but 80% of our families live in poverty. And most of those homes, believe it or not, have three books in them. And if you're lucky, one may be a Bible. One may be a Bible. But usually all three are inappropriate for children. They're books that are not appropriate at child level. So one of the things we've been doing is partnering with local groups to give books to children. So we read a book to them at the nursery that's appropriate, and then we send it home with them. So then they take that book home, and usually if the child has heard the story two or three times from our staff, they then begin to tell the story to their parent, not being able to read the words, but knowing the story. And we have found that parents are starting to read those stories to their children then. So now we've just increased the number of appropriate books. But Mr. Dan is reading to this little girl, and she walks up to him with the book and says, you know, Mr. Dan, I think she was about four, and said, Mr. Dan, will you read to me? He said, sure, honey, I'll be happy to. And she said, Mr. Dan, can I sit on your lap? And of course, in today's world, and especially now in the pandemic, Dan was like, I don't know. And Dan said, sure, honey, you can sit on my knee. Come on, sit on my knee. And he began to read the book to her. And as he's reading the book to her, she leaned into him and said, you know, you're the only one that holds me, that lets me sit on their lap. And Mr. Dan got his composure and kept reading and got to the end and said, and they lived happily ever after, or however the book ended. And when he looked up, three other children were lined up with books in their hands waiting to be read to. So children, we welcome children. Children come to the Children's Aid Society. They come to the Layman Center Nursery because they want someone that will hold them, and they want someone that will read to them. Another Mr. Dan story, if we could go to the next slide. Little girl. Mr. Dan always wears a hat. In the summertime, it's a baseball hat. In the wintertime, it's a knit hat. In the in-between seasons, it's some other straw hat or some hat, but Mr. Dan always wears a hat. When Mr. Dan comes in, he takes his hat off and he puts it on the table. He's with the children, and when he leaves, he picks his hat up and goes home. Well, one day, this little girl took his hat, and she ran upstairs to the bedrooms. And our bedrooms, as you can see in the background here, are done in Scooby-Doo. Not the new Scooby-Doo, not the Scoob movie, but the old school Scooby-Doo, like when I was a kid growing up, we're talking the good Scooby-Doo stuff. So it's old Scooby-Doo. And she took that hat and she hid it under the blanket. And Mr. Dan said to her, honey, you know I need my hat. I can't go home without my hat. And she said, I know. I took your hat because I want to know that you'll be here in the morning when I wake up. So children come to the Children and Aid Society with the belief and the faith that there's going to be someone there in the morning when they wake up. Next slide, please. And the final Mr. Dan story, you can click both of them, is this little boy. Mr. Dan, I don't know if you've ever been to our Layman Center, but if you haven't, come visit us at the 400 Market Street, not right now, in a couple months when we're allowed to give tours again, we'll let you know. But in our center, there's this big, huge playroom. And this playroom is filled with everything. Trucks and dolls and play clothes and ball pits. Well, we had to take the ball pit out because of the pandemic, but there's still a lot of stuff there that kids can play with. And Mr. Dan says to this little boy, buddy, what do you want to play with? And the little boy looks right at Mr. Dan and says, anything you're willing to play with me. So children come with a faith and a belief that someone is going to be there to play with them. They come to the Children's Aid Society because they believe that someone is going to read to them and hold them. And they come to the Children's Aid Society because they believe that someone is going to be there in the morning when they wake up. So what can you do? What can you do as Black Rock Church of the Brethren? Now, you're already doing a lot of these things, but as I go around and I talk to churches and I say to them, there's really five things you can do as a church and as an organization to welcome a child into your midst. and support the ministry to keep all children safe and feel love. The first one's really easy. All you have to do is pray for us. Pray for our ministry, pray for our team, pray that God will continue to show us the ways to best allow children to come into our midst, to have the faith, to have the belief, to let the children come unto us. The second, you already got it. Invite me to come to talk to you about our ministry, to share with you the story, the good news of what we're doing in our communities for children. So you got that one. Conduct a drive or collect items off our wish list, which is at CASSD.org. Right now, we are so desperately in need of things like handmade face masks. We are in need of things like paper towels, disinfectant wipes, gloves, diapers, because now diapers have to be changed and thrown away. We can't, if you check a child's diaper and it's not soiled, you used to be able to keep it on them. Now we have to take that off the child because it's been handled by another human being. So, you know, diapers, especially 4, 5, and 6, our director just told me, we're out of sizes 4, 5, and 6. So those are the kind of things that you can do a collection for us, you know, just to provide some of those things that we so desperately need in our agency. You can place this in your annual budget or take up a love offering, and I know you all do that. I know you all do that. A couple years ago, you were going to hold our annual banquet here, and then things went awry, and I forget why we couldn't have it. I think it was weather. It didn't happen, but, you know, come out to our golf tournaments. Support us in our fundraisers. Do those kind of things. Or volunteer and participate in any of our organizations. Right now, we're limiting volunteers in our facilities, but we still have projects that you could be involved in as volunteers. Like I said, making masks or blankets or something for the children. I just want to leave you this morning, finally, with a couple thoughts. We could go to the next slide. Let the children come unto me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And this is from Luke, and I don't know if you know this, but the passages that I shared with you this morning, if you have some time, go back, and they're from what's called the Synoptic Gospels. And really, in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, there's similar passages. Wording's a little bit different because each one of the writers of those Gospels, God-inspired, wrote those a little differently. But if you go back to them, like in Matthew, it's in Matthew 19, 13 to 15, Luke 18, 15 to 17. And let me just read a couple of those to you so you can see how similar they are, but how different. But the message, and I think that that's what I want to leave you to with today, the message is so similar and so much the same. So Matthew 19, 13 to 15, and this isn't on the screen, so I'm just going to share it with you. And it's called The Little Children and Jesus. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heavens belongs to such as these." And when he placed his hands on them, he went from there. And that's in Matthew 19. And then if you look at Luke 18, it's called The Little Children and Jesus. And then it says, people were also bringing babies, not children, but babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it." So very similar messages, just very, if I've shared with you in the past when I visited you, I'm actually in my last year of seminary at Lancaster Theological Seminary. So I just find it very intriguing that each one of the gospel writers kind of tells this same story about how we are to act and bring children in. And since coming to our agency 4 years ago, I really have tried to bring the ministry back into our nonprofit organization and really get our team to focus on this is why we do what we do every day. We approach this from the faith of a child, that needs to be in our midst. And as you all know, like those two little boys who mix up the language and think that they had something to do with God missing in their life and in their town, children come to things with that pureness, that openness, and sometimes that confusion. And I think especially in this time of pandemic and new normal and confusion, for us to just be that open to what God is saying to us, to read the word and understand what God is saying to us in this time of this new normal in our world. Because the ultimate goal is to be in the kingdom with him. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, again, we just come before you and we ask that we are able to take your word in, to understand the words that are shared, to understand the words that are prayed, to understand the words that are spoken to us silently in your voice as we meditate and pray with you. We thank you for an organization like the Children's Aid Society and all the staff and the team that continue to minister to children and welcome them in. Welcome them into the faith with a childlike awareness and a childlike curiosity. We welcome them into our midst and we allow them to sit with us and we allow them to have our hands placed on their heads and to bless them. We give them opportunities to know that they are loved and to, especially in this time, to know that they are safe. We thank you for Black Rock Church of the Brethren and all that they do for this community to be an example of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm humbled to have been with you.